ॐ ध्यायामो धवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। So we found Lakshmidhara proving that the qualities or nature of Brahman, ultimate or paramarthika nature, as well as with respect to the world. So Sachidhanandam is Brahman's nature with respect to nothing. So ultimately Brahman's Swarupa Lakshanam is Sachidhanandam, whereas when the world is assumed, Brahman takes up the qualities of Sarvajna, being a Sarvajnam or Sarvajnatvam, Sarvagatatvam or Sarvavyapitvam and Sarvakaranatvam, as well as Advitiyatvam. So Advitiyatvam, Advitiyatvam is like natural, isn't it? Swarupam, definitely, no. Advitiyam, the word itself means, Advitiyam means there is nothing other than it. So if there is nothing other than it, like why would we use the word Advitiyam? So Advitiyam or Advayam itself means that there is duality perceived and which is being negated by this word. Or the reality of duality is negated by the word of Advayam. So that means ultimately Advayam, Advitiyam and all those are also not valid for Brahman, because Brahman in itself means like only one, there is nothing apart from Brahman at all. So if there is nothing apart from Brahman, then there is no need of mentioning specifically that it is Advayam. So the commander-in-chief of US, he is one alone. Do we have to say that? Definitely no. We already know there is only one commander-in-chief. There is only one commander-in-chief, then why would he have to say that he is one alone? It is already known. So it is something like it has a fault as well. And the fault of like mentioning what is already known. So what is already known? That is something which is already known. So punarukti dosham, there is also the dosham of repetition. Repetition, unless it is essential, and repetition should have like a different aspect to it, else it's not, it is also a dosham. Then there is the dosham of already, trying to speak about something which is already known. So that such dosham will not come in Brahman, because Brahman, there is no scope of duality at all in Brahman. But from a worldly perspective, duality is perceived, and thereby Advayam has to be proven, which Lakshmidhara did. Nahi bhana drite sattvam nartham bhane chito chitah chit sambhedo api na adhyasat rate tenaham advayah. So sat or existence cannot be there without the light of consciousness, without prakasham. There cannot be any existence, and light is possible only from chit. Our existence of achit, jada vastus or jadam doesn't have any light in it, so it requires chit for it to shine, and thereby jada vastus, and this relationship between jadam and chit with our contrary is that of an illusion and the substratum or superimposed, and the superimposition medium. That which is real, that which is superimposed. So that is the relationship adhyasam. Without that adhyasam, there cannot be any relationship between the reality of chit and unreality of jadam. So all these, like we have said, like our Lakshmidhara proved that all these are my nature. So aham, it's not just Brahman's nature, it's my nature as well. Aham Brahma, it's my nature, I am that. తేన అహమద్వయ బ్రహ్మైవాహం అతస్సిద్ధం అతోహం న కథం బ్రహ్మ. ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ విత్ రెస్పెక్ట్ టు మీ, విత్ రెస్పెక్ట్ టు ఐ, బట్ దెర్ కెన్ బి అ డౌట్. సో యూ సే ఐ ఆమ్ బ్రహ్మన్, బట్ ఐ డోంట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ మై సెల్ఫ్ యాజ్ బ్రహ్మన్. ఐ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ మై సెల్ఫ్ యాజ్ ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్ థింగ్స్. సో దిస్ ఈజ్ వాట్ శంకర కాల్స్ యాజ్ అధ్యాసం ఇన్ హిస్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర భాష్యం. సో రాంగ్ నాలెడ్జ్, ఆర్ వన్ రాంగ్ నాలెడ్జ్, ఆర్ వీ కెన్ సే టోటల్ ఇగ్నరెన్స్, దట్ కాసెస్ ఎ పర్సన్ టు కన్సిడర్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ యాజ్ సంథింగ్ ఎల్స్ అదర్ దాన్ ద రియల్ ఐ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మన్. సో ఇఫ్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు ఫైండ్ అవుట్ ద రియల్ ఐ, దెన్ దర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ ఈజీ వే టు ఫైండ్ ఇట్ అవుట్. సో ద ఈజీ వే ఇస్ నాట్ రన్నింగ్ టు ఎ మహాత్మా. The easy way is not trying to do a lot of dhyanam. The easiest way is vicharam. As Ramana Maharshi says, vicharam. So this vicharam, avichara krito bandha vicharena nivartate. Tasmat jiva paratmanau sarvadhaiva vicharayet. That's what Vidyaranya says. That avicharam, lack of inquiry causes a person to be bonded, whereas inquiry will take us to the state of moksha. And that is what Ramana Maharshi also says. Aham ayam kuto bhavati chinvata ai patatyaham nicha vicharanam. Vicharam, what is vicharam? Try to find out this I. So vicharam, Shankara also says the same thing. Vastu siddhar vicharena nanna kinchit karma koti bihi. Vastu siddhi, vastu or truth can be known through vicharam, through inquiry. So inquiry means inquiry or analysis has to have a spectrum, we can say. I think a spectrum is a right word here, like we can use that word. Spectrum or a particular environment or object, we can say an area. Where we inspect or which we inquire. So inquiry with respect to our own real nature or reality has to be done. Like there is only one way of such true inquiry. In that one way, obviously, many preachers forget that one way for many reasons. We don't know. There is nothing wrong with somebody not speaking about this one perspective. But this perspective has been praised by a lot of people. Even Amma uses it in her, if we read Amma's Vachana Amritam or Awakened Children, we can find Amma using this analysis. Sachidanandendra Saraswati, the great seer who said that Shankara said something different from his later Acharyas. So he also uses this logic. Gaudapada uses it. This is the basis of even Mandukya Upanishad, that is Avasthatrayam, analysis of the three avasthas. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, then Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Yajnavalkya takes Janaka through a deep, thorough analysis of the three avasthas. So the three avasthas, if we take one day, one entire day, we can split those into three avasthas or three states that a person goes through. The first is the waking state. So the waking state is the state that we are now. We experience gross objects, and then there is a dream state. So in the dream state, we experience subtle world, and that subtle world is based on or dependent on the impressions created in the waking world. And there is a third state, Sushupti Avastha, a third state where a person doesn't experience gross objects, like he doesn't also experience Swapnam, or subtle objects. There is no gross object, gross world experience, as well as no subtle world experience. And it is as if like everything has been veiled temporarily by something. So it is like we are on the road, all of a sudden it's a beautiful day, all of a sudden clouds, dark clouds come and veil the sun. Everything temporarily vanishes, temporarily merges. And then after some time, things come back. So in that state, like, or in that state, there is experience of oneself, not at that time, after we wake up. After we wake up, a person says, I slept very well. I didn't know anything. So there was ignorance and there is also happiness. So these three avastas, when a person analyzes these three avastas, he will find that the real I is different from what is being considered in the waking and dream state. The real I has or is being experienced daily by a person in deep sleep. So any anandam, so any happiness or bliss. So what is bliss? So how do we differentiate between bliss and happiness? So happiness is very, very, very limited. So any happiness or like any thing that we get from sense objects is happiness. Anything we get without the help of sense objects is bliss. Of course, the happiness from sense objects is also from the Atman, from the self, but it gets limited. It gets objectified. Objectification limits an entity, limits anything. Objectification limits happiness as well. So without objects, if a person gets happiness, that is bliss. So that is why sadhakas, like during states of intense meditation or during states of bhajan, when a person does bhajan, so there is no object there. Objects vanish. And when objects vanish, that is when bliss is experienced. So even like, of course, we can, this is something which is kind of subtle concept. So we can also say that when a person experiences sense objects, temporarily duality vanishes, and that's when a person gets happiness, but it is very, very short-lived. And that's why we cannot call it as bliss, because it is very short-lived. Immediately a person enters into dukkham. So okay, don't get confused over all this, but the simple logic or simple thing is that in deep sleep we experience bliss. Bliss which stays for the entire time, entire state of deep sleep. So unlike happiness during waking state, happiness during waking state is short-lived, whereas happiness that we experience in deep sleep is long. It stays for the entire avastha. So that means that is possible, or it is possible to experience bliss only if it is part of our own nature. And of course, if we analyze, in deep sleep there are no objects. Person doesn't see anything else in deep sleep. Why? Because there is no dvaitam, then how can a person experience anything else? There is no duality at all there. And that means happiness has to come from where? From oneself. If there is no duality, then only myself or I am the cause. So we are inside a room, and then like we experience some, we hear like beautiful singing, and there's nobody else in the room, nothing else, no tape recorder, nothing, only we are there. Then what that means? That means I am singing. Who else can sing? And all other options are ruled out. What remains behind is there? Like as Sherlock Holmes says, so when there are like, when all possibilities are ruled out, then whatever remains behind, however improbable it may be, that is the culprit, or that is the solution that applies here perfectly. So that means anandam is my very nature. If it is not my nature, how can I experience it in deep sleep? Then what is it that makes us suffer in dream as well as waking state? So that is where Abhyasam comes into picture. We don't understand, we don't remember ourselves as the self. We get identified with other things. So the experience a person gets in waking and dream state is I am so and so, my body is so and so, I am like, with respect to the mind, my mind is fluctuating, my mind is not strong. With respect to eyes, my eyesight is weak. With respect to the intellect, I am a foolish person, I am an ignorant person. I am a jnani. All those are there. So of course, Lakshmidhara will enter into a deep analysis of this Sushupti state in the next few shlokas. So Sushupti is something which a person has to understand very clearly. If a person analyzes Sushupti or the three avasthas, then there needs to be nothing, or nothing needs to be learned after that. That itself is enough. Sushupti avastha, or the analysis of the three avasthas, avastha trayam, is enough for a sadhaka to realize. Because avastha trayam will prove that I am the self and everything else is just temporary. If that knowledge is there, if everything else is temporary and I am the self, then there is only anandam here. And of course, we have already learned that duality is just an illusion in the substratum of Advaya Atman Rite Tenaham Advaya Tenaham Advaya. I am Advayam and Adhyasam is the cause of duality. So immediately a person will realize. So any time a person feels, a sadhaka feels sad, a sadhaka feels sorrow, immediately the sadhaka will remember, in Sushupti Avastha I was happy. So what is it that obstructs me to experience that happiness now? What is it that makes me suffer now? So that is Adhyasam. I consider myself as a employee or as an employee. So I am an employee, then my boss scolds me and I become sad. When my boss scolds me, if I remember that I am the Atman, then externally remain sad and internally rejoice in bliss, saying that, oh, this fool is thinking that he is my boss. What a fool he is. Of course, don't enter into such argument. So that is also bad, like considering others as fools, considering others as bad is also not good for a sadhaka, because for a sadhaka everything is just an illusion. So in this illusion, somebody is scolding somebody, fine, no problem, I will remain blissful. So anyway, in this particular shloka, Lakshmidhara says that I am not any of what I consider myself to be. So an ajnani considers himself to be the body, to be the indriyas, to be prana, to be mind, to be intellect. All those are not me. I am not all those. And the reason is also given here. An inference is given. A reason, or through inference, a reason is given as to why I am not all of these. And of course, the simplest reason is, all these were not there with me as part of me in deep sleep. If they were not part of me in deep sleep, then they are not part of me. They are, we can say, agantukam, accidental. So accidentally, incidentally we can say, but I think accident is the right word, accidental. Somehow it is there temporarily, and we get deluded into that. So don't get deluded. So anyway, Lakshmidhara says here, na deho nendriyam chaham. Na prano na mano na dehi. Mamata parirabdhatvad. Akridatvadidam diyah. So, a few of the notion, or if we trace back, if we use Ekashloki or any other work which traces back from gross objects on to the innermost self through Kosham analysis or any such analysis, so all those are being mentioned here. So the first is, person considers himself to be the body. So I am the body. So Lakshmidhara says here, na deho, and not the body. And then the next is, after the body comes indriyas, na indriyam cha aham. aham na indriyam. I am not the indriyas, I am not the sense organs. Na prano, I am not the prana, the next level is prana. Na manu, I am not the mind. Na di, I am not the intellect. We can also add, I am not the ahankaram or I am not the chittam. So ahankaram will be dealt in the next shloka. Lakshmidara gives the logic to say that I am not ahankara, and then enters into the sushupti avastha and comparison of the ahankaram, or differentiating the ahankaram from the atman. So here that is not being mentioned, but we can apply that as well here. So I am not all of these. So before entering into the reason that Lakshmidara gives, Vidyaranya, like interested people can go through Vidyaranya's the third chapter of Panchadashi, where he says that I am not the Pancha Kosha. So he gives detail, or in detail he negates the Pancha Koshas from the innermost self. So I am not the Deham, the Deham is constantly changing, whereas I am not changing. The Indriyas are also changing. Indriyas are active, not active, inactive. So I am not them. The Prana also fluctuates. For some people they have asthma, some people they have, like, they breathe. Their breath is very normal, breath is not very normal. So I am not the Prana, which also is changing. The mind itself means change. So I am not that. The or intellect also changes. So today I am a believer of Obama, tomorrow I'll be a believer of somebody else. So today I like Leh Raja, tomorrow I'll like A.R. Rahman. But today I like Vidyaranya, tomorrow after learning Advaita Makaranda I'll like Lakshmidhara. So changes, intellect or intellectual conviction also changes, whereas I am always the same. Like in an entire day, if we analyze the avastha, three avasthas, I is what is same, constant. Yesterday I, today I. So yesterday I believed in, or yesterday I like Vidyaranya, today I like Lakshmidhara. So what is common? The common factor is I. So I who liked Vidyaranya yesterday, like Lakshmidhara today. So that means this I is the same. I is the same, but other, like, intellectual conviction changes. So I remains the same, but everything else changes. Okay, whether this I is the same as ahankaram, we know ahankaram means, ahankaram itself means what? Ahankaram means that which gets attached, gets associated with objects. So ahankaram gets associated with objects. Without objects, ahankaram cannot exist. So whereas I can exist without objects. Oh sure, I don't think I can exist without objects. Definitely in deep sleep we do exist without any objects. Without any objects we exist. So I am not ahankaram. So of course ahankaram is taken up next. So for now all of this, or whatever Lakshmidhara has mentioned, deham, indriyam, pranam, manas, di, etc. All these are objects of ahankaram. So ahankaram acts in two ways. So ahankaram, or like ahankaram, or the ego acts in two ways. One is I, and second is mine, or aham and mama. So aham and mama, so that is ahankaram. So anytime ahankaram, we think we have ahankaram. How can we find out whether we have ahankaram or not? Do I have a sense of aham? Do I have a sense of mama? So when I see someone, do I say my people? Do I take pride in my people? Then mama is there. Do I take pride in myself? Do I say I did this? Do I say, like, I am doing this, I am a good sadhaka? Any time a person says, I am a good sadhaka, I do this, I am know this, and all those, there is ahankaram, because aham is there. Any time I say, oh, my guru is great, my guru Amma is great, immediately there is mama. So there is ahankaram And ahankaram in itself, ahankaram is the greatest thief in the world. So what does it steal? Ahankaram steals happiness from us. So ahankaram is like the politician. The politician can survive only if he steals money and deludes people. So imagine the day when politicians can't delude people, politicians don't get money, enough money. There'll be no politics at all. Politics will vanish. So politicians means their very nature or very role is to delude people. Without deluding people, politicians cannot exist. So ahankaram is like that. Ahankaram deludes us. Ahankaram deludes a sadhaka into believing that he is related with I and mine, or objects are real, and then I and mine starts, and it is a huge web that is weaved around a person. All the while, the real treasure is hidden inside. The real treasure of Anandam is hidden inside. Ahankaram doesn't let us access the same. Whenever a sadhaka comes very close to finding out or opening the treasure, ahankaram will immediately show up there and delude the person again. So that is why we can see that, like, many times sadhaka, that people who do a lot of sadhana, after years of sadhana, they'll be very close to realization, but all of a sudden they'll realize that they fall down or they fall a prey to various siddhis, for example, or any other thing. So ahankaram is a main cause of trouble. Aham and mama, and that's why Shankara says aham iti atma dhirya cha mame iti atmiya dhira api artha shunye yada yasya sa atmajnyo bhave tadha. Whenever, or like when, for a person who doesn't have aham and mama, that very moment he becomes a knower of the self. So ahankaram works in the form of aham and mama. So all of these, like the deham, the indriyam, the prana, the mana, manas, dhi, it either is in the form of mama or in the form of I. So what happens, what this means is that all these are objects of I and mine. So that means all these become I and mine. So not to get confused, like objects, what does objects mean? So objectifies, or the ahankaram, or these, all these are objectified as I and mine. What that means is that when these become objects of I and mine, then either they are joined with I and mine. So when the deham becomes an object of I and mine, which means I am the body or my body. So the laptop in front of me becomes an object of my eyes. So what does that mean? That means I see the laptop. Simple. The relationship, that is what is meant by objectifying or becoming objects. So all of these, the deham, the indriya, prana, manas, either like they are experienced as I am all of those, or they are mine. So sometimes we say, so that itself is like very clear, crystal clear. A sadhaka who does vicharam, like very easily he or she will understand or find out that I'm not the body. Why? Sometimes we say like I am suffering. And sometimes we say, my leg is paining, my body is paining. That itself is confusion, right? Like whatever is confusing, whatever can, whatever like shows up in two different forms, what does that mean? That means he is an imposter, or whatever, however the word is pronounced. So somebody comes to us like to our house one day as Shankara, and the next day he comes as Madhva. What does that mean? That means he is a thief. He is not true. So, like, it is an experience. So, Lakshmidara says, Mamata Parirabdhatva. So mamata parirabdhatvat, so that means like it becomes mamata or mama. We say with respect to these objects, we say as, or we say my body. So these become objects of mama. So mama or mamata is there with respect to all of this. So a sadhaka at times says, or an ajnani, sadhaka might be like in a higher state that he'll never say my body, or he'll try not to say consciously, though he may experience, but still he'll not say, he'll not try to dwell upon that thought. But an ajnani says my body, so we experience my body. So that means mamata parirabdhatvat. So mamata, like mamata vishayatvad. So mamata comes up. And so there is mamata with respect to all of these, and akridatvat. So akridatvat means like all these become like a sport, or like a source of temporary happiness, a source of play. So play means like we play like with objects, like it, objects become a play for us. Objects become a play for us. So like we, when we see a small child, like it, the child becomes an object. How? It becomes a sport for us, because we get happiness out of the object. Why? Oh, my dear child, my baby, I know this baby. So all those come into existence. So akridatva, there is also becoming a sport. And idam diyaha, so idam. Idam means this, or in a way like we can say I also comes up, but here it is, idam means this. So there are, like with respect to diyaha, diyam means with respect to the intellect. So intellectual conviction, or a person has the notion that my, this object, my object. So that experience. So this can also be called idam, can also be like idam is very close to I, so we can use that as well. So this body, my body, or I am the body, all those are there with respect to the body. And since with respect to the body we have this my body or this body, that means I am not the body. Kind of very simple. So if I am the body, if I am the body, never should I experience myself as different from the body. So it means that like if I am A, then always I should be A. I should never experience myself as different from A. And that difference comes up in the form of my. So my A, this A, my A, whenever if I say my A or this A, then that itself means that I am not the body. So since all of this, since deham, indriya, prana, manas, di, etc. are at some point of time experienced as this, or experienced as mine, therefore I am not them. And whether like why, or like okay, I am not all of this, but still I am ahankaram, I am not the Atman, that is being answered later. But for now, Lakshmidhara says that all of these are, so the anumanam can be something like, I am not the body. Why am I not the body? Because the body is known. Body becomes an object of my. So body is known as my body or this body, which means it is different from me, which means I am not the body. So how? Like a pot. So like a pot or an object, any object that we take, so let's say take a laptop. So we say my laptop, either we say my laptop, or we say, oh, this laptop is very good. Oh, my laptop is very good. What that means is that I am not the laptop. So that is what is proven here, that deha, indriya, prana, manas, di, or with respect to all of those, we at some point of time we say my. So with respect to the mind also we say, sometimes we say, oh, my mind is like I am, my mind is in a very bad state now. my mind is like very sad and depressed. Of course, sometimes we say I am depressed, but sometimes we say my mind is depressed. And we say like I am confused. My intellect, my brain is not working. My intellect is not properly working. So since such an experience is there, therefore I am not any of these. So then how come it is experienced as like I at some point of time? That is what is called adhyasan or in or superimposition, which is very natural and which is based on ignorance. So lack of proper knowledge, lack of proper inquiry makes a person say or use the term of I this body, I this mind, I the sense organ. So that is due to lack of inquiry. In the same way, I as the ahankaram is also due to lack of inquiry, but ahankaram is a bit tougher to conquer. With ahankaram, we will have to use much stronger logic than this simpler logic, because with respect to ahankaram, we never use my ego. So when we say like my ego, we never say I have ego, we say, we don't say my ego. And when we generally say I have ego, the I itself is ego. I have ego means like my mind is like kind of, or my intellect considers itself great. That is what is the meaning. So ahankaram is always used as I, never as my or this. Therefore that logic cannot truly be applied over here, and knowing that with Lakshmidhara doesn't use it here. So there is a beautiful story illustrated in the Shastra, in the Upanishads, and it is explained by Mahatmas like Amma and others as well. So once there was a huge debate, so within the body, so even as debates happen in the external world, so in the external world, like at times Harry Reid might agree with Obama, at times he may not, though they are in the same party. So debates always happen. So in the, like inside, whatever happens in the body, or like inside the body, what we call as inside is just with respect to like the body space or with respect to outer objects. So external to the body, internal to the body. And the indriyas and all are part or internally in the body, or that's how it is considered. So why is it considered that way? How can it be that way? So the body is an illusion. So if body is an illusion, then where is outside and where is inside? Desha kopina bhaseta yadi tarhyastva desha bhag sarva deshat prakap laiva sarva gatvam natu svataha desham, like without a spaceless entity, space cannot exist. So that means space is only an illusion. Space is not real. Space is not at all real. It is just an illusion. Desha kala anya vastunam kalpitatvacha maya na desha adikrto anto asti brahmanantyam sputam tataha. So desham, kalam and all those vastu etc. are kalpitam, imagined. So if they are imagined, so na desha adikrito antah asti, there is no limitation with respect to space, time, etc. They are illusion. If there is, they are illusion, where is outside, where is inside? There is no outside and inside. So it is just like for a sadhaka to progress that all these are mentioned, that okay, indriyas are inside. And tomorrow there will be an analysis as to whether, well, are indriyas really inside or outside? Are they really inside or outside? So inside the body just means it is not gross, it is subtle. That is the meaning there. So anyway, so there was a debate as to who is great. There are many people, right? We have the body first, and for the body, like we have various limbs of the body, various parts of the body, and then we have the indriyas. With respect to the indriyas, we have the jnanendriyas, we have the karmendriyas, and then we have the pancha pranas. And like some people consider the pranas as 10. There are 5 upa pranas or secondary pranas, like when a person yawns, when a person, I forgot the rest, so I don't remember now, but like there are when a person, while sleeping, a person snores, and although there are different pranas, are considered as different pranas. So there are dasha pranas or pancha pranas, and then mind is there, intellect is there, so all those are there. So everybody had a huge discussion, or not discussion, debate as to who is greater. So like they were arguing, like the legs were saying, I am great, I take a person wherever he wants to go, so I am great. Then the hand said, oh, you can take a person wherever you want, but I help the person in touching the object, I help the person in like eating it. Immediately the prana said, okay, you are helping him in eating, but I am helping him in digestion. Without me, food is of no use. Then immediately mouth said, no, I am the person who puts the food inside, so therefore I am more important. And then like you all are there, but still without me as the taste, indriya, organ of taste, then there is no ruchi, there will be no food intake at all. And then like, okay, you all are not right. In order for a person to eat food, first he has to see, therefore I am greater. So this argument or debate continued, went on. So everybody started saying, I am great, I am great, I am great. So that is what we see in the world. So there will be new Mahatmas, or new so-called Mahatmas or Jnanis coming in and saying, I am great, I am great, my view is right view, my view is right view, my view is right view. Everybody says the same thing. So anyway, so when all these were discussing, somehow somebody said, probably the intellect, which is the sharpest or the purest, because it is closer to the Atman, therefore maybe the intellect said that, oh, I have a way, like let's take a vacation. So let's take a vacation of few months or 1 year. Let's take a vacation of 1 year, and then within that 1 year, if the person doesn't survive, if the person doesn't really survive, then that means I am, or that in that person is, or that indriya, or that particular component is great. So everybody agreed to this wonderful suggestion, and therefore like first 1 year legs went away. So for 1 year the person survived. Without legs also a person can survive. And then the next 1 year the hands went away. The next 1 year teeth or mouth started not functioning well. If mouth doesn't function, you can also like send in food through drips. You can put drips. So then like the nose, smell, eyes, ears, so all those started taking a vacation of 1 year. And then the mind started taking a vacation, that's also fine. Intellect started taking a vacation, those are fools, he will be a foolish person. Prana also took a vacation. So can we live without prana? Of course we cannot live without prana, but we can live if prana is not fully active. So prana taking a vacation means like it's just a part of the prana, apana, or like vyana, any one of those, prana, apana, vyana, any one of those, like if they take vacation, still we will survive. So samana, if samana goes away, then digestion will not properly happen, but still that is fine, a person can survive. And finally the turn came for the Atman to leave. So the Atman was ready, about to leave. And when the Atman was about to leave, everybody started becoming very worried, because the Atman leaves, they are all dead. They are all of no use. So when the Atman was about to step out of the body, about to take a vacation, immediately all said, no, you cannot take. You are the greatest person. So this story, what does this story have to do with this particular shloka? What this story says is that the Atman is the most important, and whatever is most important is what has to be always there, and that is always there, always has to be there, everything else can go. So that which agama painu anitya, whatever comes and goes, that is anityam, that is unreal. And we experience ourselves, we experience I as always existing. So if I always exist, then I cannot be any of these which come and go. Oh, what about ahankaram? Ahankaram also comes and goes. Ahankaram, someday ahankaram, immediately one morning, like one fine morning, we wake up and somebody says, oh, you sing very well. Immediately, ahankaram rises. Ahankaram is active. Oh, I sing well. And then like, I sing well. And then like somebody comes and says, oh, I heard like you sing very well. Can you sing one song? Then the person starts to sing. So when the person starts to sing Krishna ni gani, immediately ahankaram is down. Oh, I think you sang like one apaswaram there. So ahankaram goes down. And then ahankaram takes a vacation until somebody comes and says, oh, you sing well. And again the ahankaram comes up. So that means ahankaram also is coming and going. Ahankaram will come, ahankaram will go, but the Atman alone is like always present. So, and I experience myself as always being present. So if I am always present, then I cannot be Deham, I cannot be Indriyas, I cannot be Prana, I cannot be Manas, I cannot be intellect. I have to be the Atman. Of course, we can use the logic that Lakshmi Dara gives to negate everything apart from the ahankaram, because all these are objects of my or this. So my or this is used with all of these, therefore these are not the Atman, or I am not any of these, I am the Atman. So if or when a sadhaka tries to remember that I am not any of these, but I am the all-pervasive eternal Atman, then comes true bliss. So a sadhaka then will not be affected by the changes of the body. He'll not be affected by the changes in the indriyas. So the body gets a pain. There is a headache. The sadhaka will say, oh, my body, like it is becoming old, so it is suffering. So let me take an ibuprofen, let me take a crocin and sleep. The eyesight is not working proper, then what will happen? Eyes are not fine, that is okay. That is the nature of eyes. So let me go to the ophthalmologist or whatever, I forgot, I am not getting the right word. Yeah, I think like ophthalmologist, maybe my pronunciation is awful for that. But anyway, like we go to the eye clinic and then get a specs, and then like eyes become fine. And like if something else, hearing is not proper, then let me get some buds and clean the ear. And even after cleaning the ear, it's still worse. Oh, that's, Ishwara wants me not to listen. What if like I don't listen, I am safer. At least I don't have to get afraid of swine flu. I don't have to get afraid that swine flu is spreading so fast. I don't have to hear all the bad words that people use. And when I go to work, I don't have to hear to the shouting of my boss. Anandam, oh, I am so blessed. And what if a person cannot have any taste? Oh, very good. If what is taste? You get addicted to it, you eat it over and over again. When you eat over and over again, what happens? Anyway, whatever you eat, whether it is a laddu, or whether it is a biscuit, or whether it is like raw rice, all come out in one form. All get digested and become one. What is the big deal in differentiating, in getting attached to one or the other? So that means a sadhaka will remember that I am not all of this. I am Anandam. So as Amma says, the resolution that I will be happy whatever happens is possible only when a sadhaka remembers himself to be the Atman, to be that Atman beyond all of these, beyond the body, beyond Indriyas, even beyond objects, because all of this are limited, all of these are temporary, all of these are adhyasam, all of these are mithya. Let them exist. I don't have to destroy them. How can I destroy the snake that is seen in the rope? I cannot destroy the snake that is seen in the rope because it's not real. If it is real, I can destroy. If it is not real, how can I destroy? I cannot destroy at all. So let it be there. I'll not get affected, as Shankara says. When a person sees water in desert and knows that there is no water in desert, then he will not get any sorrow at all. So even when he has to run, because like everybody is running, so he also runs with them to quench his thirst. But when he runs and finally he finds that there is no water, he'll not get sad. Maybe externally he will cry, "Oh my God, I didn't get water, I am thirsty." But internally, he is smiling, saying, "Oh, what a good actor I am." Of course, don't have that thought of what a good actor I am. Then that means there may be ahankaram. So ahankaram is something like which is very strange and very weird, we have to say, because you don't know when it will rise. You don't know when it will go away. So it is the most unpredictable entity in the entire world. And since it is the most unpredictable, it is the toughest to conquer. It attacks us from places like where we will not even anticipate it. So you don't have to have that thought, but at least internally smile. Oh, I am not at all suffering. I am always blissful. So that thought that I am Ananda Swarupam, Brahmaivahamata Siddham Sachidananda Lakshanam, I am Sachidanandam. Deham, Indriyam and all are like Mai and this thought. So let them be there. Oh, if I have to say that my father, oh my father, what are you up to? I will do that as well. But internally, what father, what son? There is only one Atman. And I am that one Atman. I am that one Atman in which this entire world is seen. Therefore, I will never be blissful. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to use this logic that Lakshmidhara gives and negate or try to reduce the bondage with the body, the mind, the prana, the indriya and all of those, so that we don't get affected by them. Instead, we will be able to rejoice in bliss, which is our very nature. We'll continue the next day. Namaskar.